The following message was given by Pastor Walter Hike at Crossroads Baptist Church.
Your Bibles, if you will, open to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And it just happened that a couple of weeks ago when the prayer team had met and they decided that they wanted to call the church to this fasting and prayer emphasis that I wasn't able to be at that particular meeting. That was when I was sick and I was down, and they held the meeting anyway, and they made the plans, and they said, well, they sent me an email, or Glenna sent me an email, and said, well, here's what we'd like to do, and preacher, we'd like to start this on this so-and-so Sunday, which is this Sunday, and we'd like for you to preach on fasting and prayer that Sunday. So I got my preaching schedule out, and I looked at what we were doing in Colossians, and it just so happened that on this Sunday, our text was on prayer. And I thought, I gleefully and joyfully wrote back and said, sure, I'll preach on prayer that Sunday. Isn't that amazing how God works those things? I love it when God does things like that. You know, some team, unknowing what where we are in the Scripture or what's coming up. And, you know, I preach expositorially through these books of the Bible, and it just so happens that God had it all planned in advance. Amen?
Amen.
So here we are, and today I'm going to preach to you on the same theme we've been in for a long time. And I like this theme, I have to tell you. Resurrection prayer today. The resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Going back all the way to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And Paul said, If you be risen with Christ. If you've received Jesus as your Savior. I hope that over all these weeks. What's it been? I don't know how many weeks it's been. 6, 7 weeks. I've been preaching on different aspects of the resurrection life. I hope by now you've gotten the theme into your mind. I am risen with Christ. When Jesus saved me and I became a born-again Christian, I didn't have to wait until I die and go to heaven to receive eternal life. You've already received it. You're already living the resurrection life. Amen?
Amen?
If you're here and you feel like you're living the resurrection life, just say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Or hallelujah. Or something. You know, you ought to be jumping over the seats and the pews and just whooping out. You know, people say, well, we're not Pentecostal. Well, you know what? Baptists were jumping over pews and hooping and hollering before Pentecostals even existed. Amen? So I'm going to tell you what. Baptists have been doing that a long time. There's nothing wrong with praising the Lord and rejoicing in God. And, you know, to think that we're already risen with Christ. What an incredible truth. And I believe that as Paul penned this, as the Holy Spirit inspired him, and he got to thinking about, well, how do I continue to write about this, the glory of what we have in Christ? And the Holy Spirit led him to write, if ye be risen with Christ. I can only imagine how Paul must have stopped writing for a moment and got to thinking about that. And he probably set his quill down and started doing some hooping and hollering all on his own right there. You know I would have. That happens to me a lot. You know, I'll be working on a message and studying a text, and all of a sudden God will open something up and the Holy Spirit will illuminate me. And I'll just start praising the Lord. I'll just have to stop and wipe the tears away and go out and ride my motorcycle or something. You know, I don't know. Anyway, we guys are different. You know, what can I say? Well, anyway, as we consider this, now Paul brings us to chapter 4, and we're going to read the text first, and then I'm going to preach to you. So if you'll please stand for the reading of God's Word. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 2 and 3. And Paul says this, and thinking back again, if ye be risen with Christ, then, verse 2, continue in prayer, and watching the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. If you'll please be seated and we'll pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, how we rejoice in the fact that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, physically arose from a grave. And He is physically ascended on high, seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty right now, alive, living for us, mediating for the lost, interceding for us, the saved. Lord, so that we can say, we are risen with Christ. We know. Oh, a born-again Christian ought to know that they know, Lord, that they are risen with You. Oh, Holy Spirit, stir in our hearts in such a way that we would know it with all assurance. And that, Lord, the resurrection would be so dynamic and so persuasive in our lives, Lord, that we couldn't help but talk to You and communicate with You and pray to You just continually throughout our lives. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Now bless us. Bless us as we consider prayer and fasting this morning. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, fasting is not necessarily mentioned here in our text, but since part of our prayer emphasis for the next month and a half or so is fasting, I want to talk to you for a few moments before I preach this text to you on prayer, just about fasting. Now, fasting is something that you don't hear Baptists say a whole lot about anymore these days. It's sad. As a matter of fact, fasting is something that you don't hear many Christians say much about in our day. Fasting is something that I guess people might hear about or expect to hear about from perhaps a Pentecostal church or some of the other churches around us. And, you know, a lot of them don't even mention fasting anymore either. But fasting is scriptural, it's biblical, it permeates the Bible, and it's even New Testament. Jesus tells us that we ought to be fasting people, that we ought to fast. I want you to think for a moment about a fast. Now, Glenna mentioned some of the types of fasting. And by the way, those impact studies aren't on the table back there in the back right now. I took the box home. I want to go through some things and sort through those books. And so they haven't been back there here in a few weeks. They will return. But there is one of those impact studies on prayer and fasting. And there's a couple of two or three studies in that fasting book on just fasting, talking about what the Bible says about fasting and the types of fasting. And it's a important study. I tell you, as a Christian, you ought to get together with somebody else that you can go through those studies with. You ought to go through those impact studies. You ought to go through that study on prayer and fasting. It will help you immensely to know what God teaches, especially about fasting. I remember reading one time as I was studying on fasting, and I remember reading one time that I believe it was Charles Wesley who said that he would never hire a staff member for one of his churches or ordain a new minister in the ministry who did not fast at least once a week. My friends, that's how men of old, preachers, well-known preachers that went before us felt about fasting. Fasting is important in our Christian life. Fasting. What is fasting? Well, fasting is sacrificially going without something for the purpose of drawing closer to God. There are examples in the Bible of people fasting in the midst of crises. And the example that Glenna mentioned is Esther calling for Israel to fast for 3 days. Genocide was going on. They were getting ready to kill all the Jews in the kingdom unjustly. And Mordecai called for Esther to go before King Ahasuerus and plead for the people. But if she went in uncalled, she could lose her life. And she asked for Israel, everyone in Israel, to fast, to do a total fast for 3 days for that crisis. That's a fast for crisis. You know what? I got to tell you, the more I consider it, the more I believe that America is in a crisis. Now, it's not easy to go 3 days, three whole days without food or water. Some of us medically probably shouldn't do that. But the truth is, if you sense a crisis, if you're in a crisis, that's the example in the Bible of a fast for crisis. That's a big sacrifice. But God answered. God answered that fast in a big way. My friends, there's another kind of fast, and probably what Glenn is and the prayer team are calling us to is probably more this. It's a partial fast. A partial fast meaning that you fast from something that's meaningful to you. It should be sacrificial. Now, if my son were to fast from Brussels sprouts, that's not a fast. Because he doesn't eat Brussels sprouts anyway. I love Brussels sprouts, but we don't eat many of those anyway. Or if my son were to fast from asparagus. Now, we sometimes eat asparagus, and unfortunately, he has to eat them when we put them in front of him, but he doesn't like them. So the fact that he's fasting from them wouldn't be a fast for him. Now, if he were to fast from Mountain Dew, Now that would be a fast for him. Boy, that would save me some money. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. My friend, when you fast, the fast needs to be meaningful to you. It needs to be a sacrifice for you. A partial fast. You know, today I believe a person could fast from television. I believe that would be a great fast for many of us. You know, I saw a thing on a commercial on television the other day that said the average person now watches over 8 hours of television a day. Well, I don't. I don't know how somebody could watch 8 hours of television a day. What, they have a TV in their office at work? Or, you know, you go to the bank now and there's a TV in the bank. You know, maybe you need to fast from television. You know, some things that you might fast from that you really like for instance, if you were to fast from coffee or some soft drink, you might actually get headaches from that fast. You know what that means? It means that you're really doing a real fast. My friends, a fast needs to be meaningful to you. And during that time that you're fasting from, so you might fast from one meal a day. Maybe you fast from some snack that you do every day that you like. You might fast from that. But during that time frame, you should spend that time in prayer. If you're fasting from something like that's giving you a headache, when you have that headache, get on your knees and pray. You say, that's a hard time to pray, preacher. But you know what? That's when it's the most meaningful to you. And remember, that's what a fast is about. You're fasting for something significant, and you're willing to make a sacrifice for the fast. So if you get involved in this fast, and I encourage you to fast. Glenn is calling, the prayer team's calling us to 3 days a week of fasting, of a partial fast from something. That's a big commitment. But you know what? We're in times that we need big commitments. We're in perilous times. We're in the end times. You know, we're asking the church to fast for church growth and for the lost. And I believe those two kind of go hand in hand. But, you know, not just for the lost in church growth. Church growth can come in a number of different ways. But you know what? We need our church to grow. Amen. To be honest with you, our church has been in hard financial times now for going on over a year, almost a year now. Now, it's not that you people have stopped giving, and it's not that you people haven't faithfully been coming to church. It's not that somebody's left the church. It's that our economy has changed. People aren't making as much money as they used to. Some people lost their jobs. Some people retired from their jobs. It changed the whole dynamic of giving in our church. And the answer is what? People are discouraged. Well, we're in tough financial times. A pastor might have to continue to take another full-time job before the end of the year, and we're having trouble meeting budget. What's the answer? Church growth. We need more people. Whether they're people who are disenfranchised from churches altogether. You know, we went out on outreach 2 weeks ago and knocked on a number of doors and bumped into three people who knew that they were born-again Christians and knew the gospel. And we had a great time talking to them about Jesus, but they don't go to church anywhere. It's amazing how many people there are out there who claim to be born-again Christians who just don't go to church anymore. You know, wouldn't it be great to get them to come to church here? Amen. It's not just about money, but it is. We do need church growth, and that's just a part of church growth. As the church grows and people give their tithes and their offerings, it helps to alleviate or to resolve some of the issues we have. And by the way, God wants our church to grow. Amen. But it's as I mentioned to Glenda this morning as we were chatting, think about church growth here. We don't have a building yet. We'd love to have a building. I think we're on the right track. I believe we're following God's plan in waiting until we have the money to build the building. It's hard to wait. But if God wanted us to have the building tomorrow, God could give us everything we needed to build that building tomorrow. He could do it. Amen. He is able. If God has us waiting, He has us waiting for a reason. I believe part of that reason is that we don't get fixated on a building, but we realize that we are the church. But you know what? Not having a building means that people driving by might see the sign, but people don't look at this as a church. How do we get people to come visit our church? Well, the only way we can do it is for you and I to invite them to come. And to invite them in such a way that they say, you know what? That's the kind of guy I'd like to go to church with. That's the kind of family I'd like to go to church with. they really seem to love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So we're praying for church growth and for the lost to be won. We're fasting and praying for unity in our church. That the devil doesn't get in and stir up hard feelings between this family or that family, or this person or that person. We need to understand that, yeah, there are a lot of things that maybe we don't agree on in everything in life, but hey, the important thing of this church is the Great Commission, reaching the lost, preaching the Word of God, and we do that here, and we worship the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my friends, we can be unified in that no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
We need unity in our church. Sweet unity. Because unity will draw more people in. Amen?
Amen?
And no doubt, we need to be in prayer and fasting for revival, repentance, and renewal in our nation. Amen?
Amen?
The more I look around our nation, the more I look at the things that are on television, the more I see in our culture, the more concerned I am about what people understand about Jesus Christ in our culture. As I consider churches, fellow ministers, and how their congregations are struggling with the fact that people are even trying to bring sin into their churches, trying to become a member of their church and living in some sort of sin. My friends, holiness is an important part of the church. Amen?
Amen.
And the church ought to be impacting the culture, not the culture of the church. But it seems to be backwards today. And you know what? We need renewal in our churches. We need repentance in our nation. You know what? We need the blessing of God. Amen?
Amen.
So folks, let's fast and pray for those things. But I want to say this about a fast. A fast is to be secret. Many of you, I've said this before and I'm saying this today, I hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say it. Some of you already know that I've said in the past, I fast once a week, one day a week. I have for a long, long time. Long, long time. But you don't know when I do. Some of you have figured out which day it is. I think some of you had like a plan to figure that out. I'm going to invite him to come to lunch every day. And I'll know when he fasts because he won't come to lunch that day. Some of you figured it out. Some of you haven't. And I'm very protective of that. But I'll tell you what, husbands and wives. Wife, I can imagine it's hard to fast if you're the main cook at home and to still have to cook a meal for your husband. You might ought to tell your husband that you won't be sitting at the dinner table with him and eating because you're fasting. Husbands, if your wife's the cook, I advise you to tell your wife you're fasting. Because it could be really frustrating to put a meal on the table and have the guy say, I'm not eating today. So, I mean, taking the secret to an extreme may be an extreme. But God knows the intent of your heart. Jesus, in referring to fasting, talked about the Pharisees and Sadducees putting sackcloth and ashes on when they were fasting and going out into the square of the town so everybody would know they were fasting. They were doing it for their own name. They were doing it for their own sake. Jesus said, you need to wash your face, you need to comb your hair, you need to clean yourself up so that nobody but God knows what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it's not wrong for a church to collectively fast. And Glenna suggested, and the prayer team suggests, that maybe you partner with somebody and fast together with somebody. Husbands and wives, would be great to fast together. To fast together with another family in the church and to have it secret between the four of you or the two of you or whatever. If you have a prayer partner and you partner together to fast together, that's fine. That is perfectly fine. Whatever you do, you make sure you're sincere toward God. Amen?
Amen.
And that you're not doing it as a show for men. Part of the fast here, that the Selegwa, I'm not sure I like that name, but I understand where it comes from. To stir up to love and good works. And that makes great sense. There's a pot somewhere. Is the pot here? On a tripod. There's a pot on a tripod. Oh, there it is. I see it. It's by the little suit of armor. Okay. I didn't even notice it back there. But there it is. And in that pot, there are little slips of paper with names and suggested things you could do for that name. That's part of stirring up to good works. You just walk by that pot, grab a name on your way out, and then whoever it is on that paper. Don't go through there and say, oh, not that person. No, that not. No. Man, I got that name. I don't like that person. Maybe that's the name you needed. Amen?
Amen.
Hmm.
Amen.
Then call them up. Let them know you're praying for them this week. Ask them if they have any needs. Ask them if there's something specific you can pray for them for, or encourage them to be stirred up to do something good for somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Great, great emphasis for fasting and prayer. My friends, that's what we're fasting for. Well, it's a long time between now and July 31st. But I'm excited about what we're going to see God do. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
I'm excited because I think this is something that will please God. Now, one thing that we will probably do, and Glenna doesn't know this, and the prayer team doesn't know this, but on occasion I've been doing these all-night prayer meetings. Sometime in the next month or so, before we get to the end of this fast and prayer thing, I'm going to hold another all-night prayer meeting. I'm going to wait a few weeks because I want the fast to take root in your heart. You know, these all-night prayer meetings, I've only had one or two people show up for them, but I'm hoping some of you, you know what, it's sacrificial. It takes a big commitment to stay up all night to pray. But I promise you, if you talk to those who were a part of the ones that we've already done, you will be blessed for doing it.
Amen?
Amen? We need to be praying people, amen?
Amen.
And that's exactly what our text says. Now, I'm going to shift from just fasting. Fasting's always in our minds here today, but now to prayer. Prayer, and resurrection prayer specifically. And our text says in verse 2 of chapter 4, continue in prayer. Oh, God wants His children to pray. Your Heavenly Father is your Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us we ought to call out to Him and call Him Abba Father, Abba Daddy. Amen?
Amen.
Almighty God. Can you imagine Almighty God like your daddy? You can think about a little kid jumping up on its daddy's lap and hugging its daddy and playing with its daddy and wrestling with its daddy and you know, but that's how intimate God wants to be with you and I. Yes, God is holy, but God loves you dearly. God wants to be a part of your life. As a matter of fact, He wants to be so much a part of your life, as we'll be studying tonight, as we're looking at the book of Acts, that He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. Oh, you ought to come tonight and hear the message tonight on the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. It's one of the foundations that God has given you and I, and as Christians, the reality of the presence of God so that we can know His spiritual embrace and His presence so that God is as real to us and as dear to us as our wife or as our children or as our parents. Whoever it is that you're the closest to, God wants to be closer than that. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, God wants to be near to you, Christian. And that's why He says here in our passage that we ought to continue in prayer. Jeremiah 33 in verse 3, God says, call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, we ought to call out to our Heavenly Father. Amen? We ought to be praying people. We ought to be communicating with God all the time. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. Do you want to be near to God?
Amen.
The Bible says in the New Testament, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Here in Psalms He said, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. When you pray to God, when you're talking to God, you need to be talking from the depths of your heart. Amen.
Amen.
He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Oh, I'd rather be on the drawing nigh side, amen,
amen,
than the other side. Amen. Oh, boy. Well, in our text, we learn, first of all, that in continuing in prayer, we need to persevere. Persevere in prayer. That word there, continue in prayer, implies for us to endure, to tarry, to continue steadfastly, or to cleave to faithfully. We need to persevere in prayer. We need to be praying people. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be talking to our Heavenly Father. Do you know what Jesus once said? He said, I want you to turn to Philippians 4:6, but Jesus once gave a parable in Luke chapter 18, and the parable starts this way. Luke 18:1 says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Catch that. Jesus gave a parable, and the point of the parable was that you ought always to pray and not to faint. We need to persevere in prayer. We need to continue in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be praying people. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says it this way. Praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, we ought to be praying always. Philippians 4:6, if you're there, here's where I asked you to go. He says to be what?
Careful.
Careful for nothing, but in everything by, what's that word?
Prayer.
Say it louder.
Prayer.
Say it louder.
Prayer.
Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. What can I pray about? He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know what? You can pray for everything. Excuse me, I was looking at the wrong verse there a second. Be careful for nothing. You can pray for absolutely everything. Listen to me. Is there a temptation in your heart? Is the devil trying to tempt you and stir you up to some kind of sin? Some people might think, well, I can't pray about that, preacher. I mean, we're talking about a struggle with sin. That God hates sin. Well, that's right. You need to pray about that.
Amen.
You know, Adrian Rogers once said, there's no sin what prayer could not overcome. My friends, we need to be praying. God, I'm being tempted. Could you help me with this temptation, Lord? Could you give me the strength to overcome? Maybe, Lord, you could just take the temptation completely away. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and God will draw nigh unto you. My friend, whatever it is, you can pray about it. Lord, I have this concern in my heart. I have this perceived need or felt need. I have this need. I'm not even sure if other people would recognize it as a need. And I'm a little bit hesitant to pray about it. But your Heavenly Father says, I know what you need. But you just need to articulate it. Speak to me. Speak to your Heavenly Father about all things. Lord, I'm not sure what to do with this relationship with this person. Lord, I'm having this problem with one of my children. And they just don't seem to want to listen to me. And it's just brought a lot of tension in my house. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Amen?
Amen?
Be careful for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication. Talk to your Heavenly Father. By the way, what is prayer? You know, I know there are some people, especially new Christians, they're a little confused about prayer and they hesitate to pray, especially publicly, because, I don't know the big prayer language, preacher. I haven't learned the big words, and I'm not sure how to use those. Y'all use those big words, you know, that sanctification and consecration and that. I don't know. You know what the word prayer means? The word prayer just simply means to communicate. Just talk to God. You don't have to use the words I would use. You don't have to use the words some Christian that's been a Christian all their life and went to earned a doctorate's degree in English and knows half the dictionary by heart. You don't have to use all those words. You just talk to God from your heart. By the way, communication, understand that communication is never one-sided. That's talking at somebody. Many people approach prayer like that. The only time they pray to God is when they're telling God what God ought to do. God, you ought to give me this. God, you ought to deliver me from this. God, you ought to do this. That's not prayer. Communication is always two-way, my friends. You need to, yes, make your request known to God, but you also need to listen for God.
Amen.
You say, well, how do I listen for God? Well, you can listen to the Holy Spirit that's working in your heart and your mind. God will speak to you that way.
Amen.
You also hear from God in the most trustworthy way you hear from God is just from the Word of God. You need to read your Bible every day and understand that God's going to speak to you from His Word. As you read His Bible. Amen.
Amen.
But don't discount the fact that the Holy Spirit inside of you will speak to you when you're listening for God. You say, how do I do that, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what I do when I have my God and I time. And oh, by the way, every Christian, and you've heard me say it before, every Christian ought to have a God and I time. Amen?
Amen.
Spend some time praying. Spend some time reading the Bible. Spend some time meditating. And what do? I just sit back and I start listening to God. And I tell God, God, I'm listening for You. What if something comes to my mind while I'm having my God night time? Well, if it's trivial, I tell myself, no, I'm
communicating with my Heavenly Father. And if it's something I need to do during the day, I'll write it down so I don't have to think about it anymore. I'll remember it now. I wrote it down. Now I can go back and just listen to my Heavenly Father and talk to God. And I'm going to tell you what, you'd think I was crazy. If you came into my house, like this morning, I got up real early and got my cup of coffee, and I tell you, I even talk to God when I'm in and out, when I'm dozing in and out. You know, and the first thing in the morning until that coffee takes effect, I'm in and out. But I'm sitting there, I'm okay, God, I'm back to talking to you again. I'm back awake. Oh, oh, God, I'm going out again. You say that's silly. I'm going to tell you what, my purpose, though, is to just get in touch with God, and I'll be listening for Him. And the things that come to my mind, I believe that's the Holy Spirit working in my heart. Amen. Working in my mind. The Holy Spirit is real, people. I've heard Baptist preachers say, oh, don't tell your people about listening to the Holy Spirit because it's going to confuse them. But I believe the Holy Spirit can put thoughts in your mind. The Holy Spirit can communicate with you, and you need to be listening for Him. Amen? Amen. Prayer is communication. Now, we call it prayer. We have a hallowed name for it because God is holy, and we always need to recognize that He is holy. But He is also loving. And when we approach our Heavenly Father, yes, we need to approach Him the right way. But we also need to understand that He's merciful and He's compassionate and He loves us deeper than anything we could ever understand. His love for us is deeper than any love mankind has ever known. Amen. He wants to be near you. Many of us think, oh, God doesn't want to be near me, preacher. God knows what I've done. I'm not worthy of God. Oh, you're right. We're not worthy of God. But thank goodness, because of what Jesus did, God has made you worthy. Amen?
Amen.
You are a child of God. If you're resurrected with Christ, continue in prayer. A Christian should have a God and I time. A Christian should talk to God as he's driving down the road, going to work, or as he's walking, he or she's walking through the grocery store. You say, wait a minute. I can talk to God while I'm driving out? Yes, you can. When you learn to really communicate with God, you'll find yourself talking to God all the time. Amen. Stopped at a stoplight, and you're just sitting there talking with God. Oh, yeah, God. I'm having a great day. How's your day going, God? And this guy sitting next to you is looking over at you. Who's he talking to? Is there a kid in that car or something? You ought to talk to God, too! Amen?
Amen.
I'd rather get caught talking to God and have somebody think I'm a Jesus freak and crazy than anything else. I'm going to tell you what.
Amen.
You need to talk to God about the decisions you make. Oh, we know we ought to talk to God about the really big decisions. Amen? But you know what? You can talk to God about even the little decisions. And I want you to think for just a moment, my friends. If God loves you so much, and God is so wise, don't you think He can even help you pick out what kind of spaghetti sauce you're going to buy? Hey, talk to God. You say, that's silly, preacher. No, the only silly prayer is the one that's not prayed.
Amen.
All things. It's like I say to people when I've taught some Bible classes here and there at times for different colleges and seminaries, and I tell them first day in class, the only stupid question is the one that's not asked, because if you have a question in your mind, somebody else has it. They're just afraid to ask it.
Right.
And I'll never make you feel stupid for asking a question. The only stupid question is the one that's not asked. You ought to ask it. Well, the only stupid prayer is the one that's not prayed. Amen?
Amen.
You ought to talk to God. Talk to God about your concerns, all your concerns. Listen, you ought to talk to God with your family. I'm not talking about just at the dinner table before you eat. Yes, yes, we ought to pray before we eat. But so often that just becomes such a formal kind of thing. You know, you pray the same thing over and over and over and over again. Friends, even when you pray with your families at the dinner table, it ought to be sincere toward God. Amen?
Amen.
Pray together. Pray one for another. Pray together. Well, we ought to be continuing in prayer. But not only does our text say that we ought to persevere in prayer. Look at it again. Look at verse 2 again. He says, continue in prayer. And what's the next word?
Watch.
And say it louder. And, oh, nobody's saying anything. Come on, folks. What's that word?
Watch.
And watch. Watch in the same. Now listen, we ought to be so diligent and so persevering in our prayers that the text says it twice. We need to persevere in prayer, and we need to present our prayers. That word, watch there, means to arise, to arouse, to watch, to refrain from sleep. Now, there's one for you. It denotes attention. It marks out a mindfulness. You know what he's saying? Continue in prayer, and oh, by the way, be sure you pray. Don't fail to pray. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Be sure you pray. A resurrection Christian ought to be so close to their Heavenly Father that they're certain that they're always praying. I have met Christians at times that become discouraged or they become depressed at situations and circumstances. And I've had them look at me and say, "Preacher, I just can't pray." "Oh, you can." "No, I just don't feel like I can pray." "You can. And oh, by the way, when you feel like you can't pray is when you need to pray more than ever."
Amen.
"Well, what do I do, preacher, if I feel like I can't pray? How do I pray?" You go and you get out away from everything. Get away from your TV. Get away from the radio. Get away from your cell phones. Turn your cell phone off. Get away from everything, and you just get out there where you're just alone with God, and you stay there and you try and you pray and you try and you pray and you try and you pray till you can pray. Because the truth is if you can't pray, it's in you, it's not in God.
That's right.
The truth is you can pray. And if you get right down to the root, and some people would argue with me about this till they're blue in the face, but when you get right down to the root of it, the blockage is in you. The hesitation is in you. There's something that you feel like God hasn't done that you wanted Him to do, or there's something in you that you feel like you just can't talk to God about, and you can. You need to overcome you. Pray until you pray, until you can pray. And that's exactly what this text is saying. And watch in the same. Watch in prayer. Be sure you're talking to God. If there's anything in this world that's important for a born-again Christian, it's prayer. It's talking to God. You need to be talking to God. You need to be listening to God. You need to be... Don't allow yourself to become bored in prayer. The Bible in Revelation talks about the Laodicean church. That's the apostate church. It's a rich church. It's the church in America today in largest. It's a church that has so much they don't need God anymore. They can just take care of all their needs on their own. They just have everything they need. They don't really need God. The Bible says that they think they have everything and don't realize how wretched and poor they really are. They're wretched and poor in the Spirit. They're wretched and poor in God. And it's the church where Jesus is seen on the outside of the church. When they feel like they don't need anything from God and they can take care of it themselves, they feel like they are gods. Oh, they may go to church and they were a religious church. They did go to church. But Jesus is on the outside of their church knocking to get in. Let us be careful that we're not that church. Amen?
Amen.
Let us not be so prosperous, and we are a prosperous nation. We are a prosperous people. Let us not be so protected that we do not feel like we need God. We need God. Amen?
Amen.
We need our Heavenly Father. So my Christian friend, if you're a child of the resurrection, you need to continue in prayer, and then you need to be sure you're praying. Be sure you're talking to God. Oh, preacher, my God and I time has gone by the wayside. It's been a while since I've had a God and I time. I mean to have a God and I time, but I sleep in too late, or this gets in the way, or that gets in the way, my friend. Be sure you watch in prayer. Do what it takes. Show some discipline. Oh, yes, it takes some discipline. Did you know? Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and look for verse 23. Did you know that the Bible tells us that it is actually a sin to fail to pray? Did you know that? What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you fail to talk to God, if you fail to spend time communicating with your Heavenly Father, it's a sin. Well, where do you learn that, preacher? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel's talking to Israel. Israel had done the wrong thing, and Israel was worried. And Israel asked Samuel to continue to pray for them. And listen to how Samuel answered. 1 Samuel 12, and verse 23. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should..." What's that word?
Sin.
"Sin against the Lord. Who is he sinning against? The Lord. In doing what? In ceasing to, what's that word?
Pray
for you. It was John Bunyan who once said, prayer will make man cease from sin. Sin will make man cease from prayer. You ever thought about what causes people to become so discouraged that they won't pray? Or they fail to pray? My friend, if there's sin in your life, sin that you're harboring in your life, that's one thing that will cause you to stop praying. I tell you what, if there's sin in your life and it's caused you to stop praying and you start praying sincerely and start getting in touch with God, that sin won't survive in your life. You say, every time I pray, all I hear is God telling me, deal with that sin. Repent from that sin. Turn away from that sin. Deal with that sin. You know why God's telling you that? Because God's trying to take that away from you. No, because God wants to be near you.
Amen.
And that sin is separating between you and your God. So the Bible tells us, our text tells us to persevere in prayer. And then it says for us to be diligent to present our prayers. Now look at our text again. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what?
Thanksgiving.
We need to praise in our prayers. Praise in our prayers. Adrian Rogers once said, we need to pull out some of the groans out of our prayers and shove in more hallelujahs. Amen?
Amen.
Do you have something that you can thank God for this morning?
Amen.
You know what? We have so many things. The old song, count your many blessings. My friend, we need to shove some praise into our prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes, yes, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of difficulties in life. Oh, Lord, I broke my arm, or oh Lord, I did this, or oh Lord, I wrecked my dad's car, and now I got to go home and tell him, oh Lord, I want to run away. You know what? It's hard to praise God sometimes, but I'm going to tell you what. There's always something to praise God for. Oh Lord, I broke my arm, but thank goodness my head's still on my shoulders.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I wrecked my dad's car, but you know what? I'm not hurt. Praise God. I'm safe. Thank you for keeping me safe. After all, it is just a car. There's always something we can praise God for. You know what? We need to shove praises. We need to place praises in our prayers. We need to be thanking God. It is good for us to thank God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 16 and look for verse 34. As you're turning there, listen to what the psalmist said. The psalmist said in Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. I want you to know that thanksgiving and praise will rejoice your heart. It's good for you. It's good for others. We ought to be praising and thanksgiving people. Amen?
Amen.
Psalms 147:1 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. We ought to be praising God, thanking God, worshiping God, adoring our Lord and our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And then 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34 says, oh, give, what's that word?
Thanks
unto the who? The Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You say, well, the Lord is good, but the economy is crumbling, but God is good. Amen?
Amen.
God has still provided for you. God is still taking care of you. And oh, don't worry about it. Those treasures that you're setting up for yourself in heaven, those won't ever diminish. Amen?
Amen.
I'd much rather have my treasures there than here. Amen?
Amen?
My friends, we ought to be praising God in our prayers. Amen?
Amen?
If you can't think of anything else to pray to God for, then give thanks. Thank Him. No matter how terrible the situation seems, no matter who it is that's died, no matter how close you were to that person, no matter which cat died or dog died or whatever it might be, there's still something you can thank God for.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
Can you imagine Joseph? Plummeted into slavery in Potiphar's house and thrown into the prison. How could he give thanks to God? I know some of you are in tough situations. You're in body aches and pains. There's some sickness or there's something going on in your family. But I tell you, you still have things you can thank God for and you ought to praise God.
Amen.
God is still for you. He's still your Heavenly Father. He is not against you. And He is working on your behalf. No matter what this world tries to convince you, no matter how the devil tries to convince you that God doesn't care about you, I tell you on the authority of God's Word, I tell you on the authority of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I tell you on the reality of the physical presence of Christ at the right hand of God the Father Almighty making intercession for you, God loves you.
Amen.
And cares for you.
Right.
Thank God. Your Savior lives and He is living for you.
Amen.
Not only do we need to... Wow. Good thing nobody was sitting up here. It would have been bad. Wow. Paper's all wet. Who did that? Which one of you do it? I'm sorry. We need to persevere in prayer. We need to present our prayers. We need to praise in our prayers. And lastly, look at verse 3. Look at what he says. Well, let me read verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now look at verse 3. With all what? Praying also for us. You know what? We need to partner. Partner in prayer. We need to be praying one for another. James said it this way. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplication for all saints. All saints. You know who you need to be praying for? You need to be praying for your wife. You need to be praying for your husband. You need to be praying for your children. You need to be praying for your grandchildren. You need to be praying for your friends. You need to be praying for your family. You need to be praying for your fellow church members, and yes, especially that one you're having the problem with that you just don't really want to be around right now. That's the one you really need to be praying about. And you need to be praying about yourself when it comes to that person.
Amen.
You need to be praying for everyone. Amen.
Amen.
You ought to pray for as many people as you can think of during your God and I time. And then when you get up and you're going about your day, as people come to your mind, I believe God brings them to your mind on purpose. You know what you ought to do? You ought to pray for them. If you have the time, pick up your phone, your cell phone, and call them up and say, you know, God just put you on my mind. I just want to pray with you. Even if they say, well, you know, I don't have anything to pray. Everything's fine. I'm still going to pray for you because God put you on my mind. And let's just praise God that you're having, that you think you're doing fine. And let's just pray that God would protect you. Maybe something's about to happen. I don't know. I wouldn't wish it on you, but let's pray. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to be praying for each other. Listen to what he says, pray for me for. He says, with all praying for us that God would open unto us a door of what? Utterance. To speak what? To speak the mystery of Christ. The mystery. What's the mystery? Oh, the resurrection of Jesus. It's a mystery to the world. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The world's never seen anything like that before. But you and I know it and realize it today.
That's right.
Glory to God. And that we might proclaim the gospel to all the world. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, we all ought to be praying that way. Lord, help us to reach my lost neighbors. Lord, help those who go on outreach this week. Help them to just, Holy Spirit, speak through them. Take control of them so that they're sitting there taking notes, talking away. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Say, that's ridiculous. No, that's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will speak through you.
Amen.
If you let Him. I love it when that happens. My friends, we ought to be praying people, amen?
Amen.
We need to persevere in prayer. We need to be careful to present our prayers. We ought to praise God in prayer. We ought to be praying for one another, partnering in prayer, amen?
Amen.
Oh, my Christian friends, let us as resurrection saints be in resurrection prayer always, amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, how we thank You and we praise You for Your precious Word. And Lord God, how honored we are, how privileged we are to know, Lord God, that You want to be so very close to us. Lord, there may even be times when we're not even sure how to put into words or to frame the words for what we're feeling in our heart. But the Bible says at those times, the Holy Spirit in us is praying on our behalf to You. And Lord, oh, we just praise you that you know us so very intimately. Oh, Heavenly Father, how precious it is to know that you want us to come to your throne. You want us to come and to talk to you and communicate with you. Lord, help us to learn to listen for you. Lord, help us to always praise you. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors. Prayer warriors in a world that needs prayer like never before. Oh, Holy Spirit, stir up prayer in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray, oh Lord, there's a lost soul who can't speak to you and pray to you because they're just not born again. Lord, I pray that they would receive Jesus as their Savior. Because once the Holy Spirit comes into them at the moment of their salvation, oh Lord, they have direct access to you. And what a glory that is. Stir us up to pray, Lord. Stir us up to good works. Unite us as your body and use us as your vessels to proclaim the mystery of our resurrected Savior in the new birth to all the world around us. Oh Lord, maybe there's somebody here today who Lord, there's something you've laid on their heart or somebody you've laid on their
heart. We hope that this message has blessed you. As you've listened, we trust that you have been challenged by God's Word to walk closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'd like more information about the ministry of Pastor Walt and the resources available by him, contact us on the web at www.thischristianjourney.com or write us at the address shown on the label of this CD. We trust that you are already a born-again Christian. However, if you are not and would like to know how to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then listen to the message by Pastor Walt that immediately follows. Again, thank you for listening and God bless you.
Perhaps you're one of those who, having listened to this message, is saying to yourself, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I want you to know that God loves you and He wants to save you. He wants you to experience the new birth provided by Jesus Christ and through faith in Him. It's easy for you to become a Christian. All you need to do to become a Christian is first agree with God about your sin and admit that you are a sinner. You see, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, the Bible also reminds us and tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. You see, there's a price tag attached to our sin. And our sin is anything that we do that's against God. It's disobeying what God says in His Word. So when we sin, there's a price tag that's attached to it. Just like anything else in life, there are consequences and rewards attached to our decisions and the things that we do. Well, sin has a consequence or a price tag attached to it, and that is death in hell. But you need to understand, God doesn't want you in hell. God didn't create hell for human beings. He created hell for Lucifer, the devil, and his fallen angels. However, if a person refuses to accept what Jesus did on the cross for them, how Jesus paid the penalty that they owed for their sins, that we owe for our sins, if we refuse to accept that, and we insist upon paying the price that we owe for our sins ourselves, well, then we have to go to hell, because that's the price tag that's attached to our sin. But God doesn't want you there. God doesn't take any pleasure in seeing the wicked condemned. He doesn't take any pleasure in seeing us, human beings, go to hell. God's desire for you and for I is that we would be with Him forever in heaven. Hence, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. He also tells us in Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, He goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God offers you the gift of eternal life. And my friends, a gift is something that you can't buy. God is offering you the free gift of eternal life. How does He do that? He sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty that you owed for your sins on Calvary's cross. Jesus broke His body in my place for my sins and in your place for your sins when He died on the cross. And then on the third day when Jesus gloriously arose from the grave, physically arose from the grave, He arose that He might give us an abounding life, an eternal life. And all we have to do to receive that life is admit that we are sinners, admit that we deserve to go to hell, confess that Jesus physically arose from the grave, and to ask Jesus to be our personal Lord and Savior. When you ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Jesus comes into your life when you say, "Lord Jesus, I want you to be my personal Lord and Savior." He comes right into your life and He brings you into the family of God. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." You see, not everyone in this world is one of God's children. God wants everyone to be His child. But until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, well, you're not a child of God. But God wants you to be one of His children because He loves you. So when you call out and say, "Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior," Jesus comes into you. So you need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to admit and confess that because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. It's the price tag attached to sin. And oh, by the way, if you insist on paying that price yourself, God will not force Himself upon you. God will allow you to choose your own way, and you'll have to go to hell. But when you call out and say, "Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior," when you confess that Jesus physically arose from the grave, and you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and my life and be my Lord and Savior," the Bible says He spiritually comes into you and brings you into the family of God. Don't you want Jesus today? You know, you can invite Jesus into your heart and life by simply saying a prayer that I'm going to teach you in just a moment. If you'll say that prayer, Jesus will save you and you'll experience the new birth today. And you'll know what I and many other Christians know: a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's all you need to do. Just repeat this simple prayer. Repeat it right out loud, right after I say the prayer. But when you pray it, don't you pray it just because you mean business with God. You pray it to God in your heart, in your mind, and in your life with all of your intention. And God will respond. Here it is. It goes like this. "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. But I don't want to go to hell. So Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I confess, Lord Jesus, that I know that you arose physically from the grave. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and to be a part of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." And my friend, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then you're a born-again Christian. Jesus has come into your heart and your life, and He's going to transform your life. If you just prayed that prayer, then I would love to know. I have a lot of resources that I'd like to give you access to, and so that you can grow and begin to walk this Christian journey. If you'll just go to www.thischristianjourney.com, there's a link on there that will give you my email address. Send me an email and let me know that you just accepted Jesus as your Savior. And I'll respond and help you to learn more about Jesus Christ. And you'll find a lot of resources on that website. Just go through it and study it and begin to learn about this new life you have in Jesus Christ. And enjoy the Christian journey. God bless you and have a great day.